Welcome to episode 305 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same, is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that only can be made through experience. We invite you to come along with us, and we'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website or Facebook. My name is Dawn, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, and Lindsay. Although people aren't quite ready to travel in full force again, they are searching for amazing domestic vacation destinations, and there's nothing more American than a family dude ranch vacation. Imagine exploring the majestic landscapes on horseback by day, dining under a sky full of stars at a chuck wagon dinner at night, and finishing off the day roasting marshmallows by the bonfire. Tonight we're going to discuss a dude ranch vacation and why it should be on every family's travel bucket list. So let's get started.
Yay. All right, so the first thing we need to do is be honest. How many of us have been to a dude ranch?
I've been to Girl Scout camp. Yeah. Which is kind of the same thing for horseback riding.
I used to volunteer at a horse ranch, but that's the closest I've ever gotten.
I was gonna say, like, being near horses and being at a dude ranch are two different things. So I did do a little bit of reading before we started, because anybody who knows me knows that this is not my ideal vacation. I can see why it appeals to some people, like maybe Sandy, but not me. So but it's called Dude Ranch because, we use the word dude, like dude, but that's not what it's from. It's the old version of the word dude, where it's like a well-to-do gentleman kind of thing. So it's basically a chance for, what was the cowboy movie with Billy Crystal?
Urban Cowboy.
No, City Slickers.
City Slickers.
Urban Cowboy was a different movie.
This completely different movie. Yeah. I was picturing Billy Crystal and City Slickers in my head when I said that. I was like, that's
that was right. My fault. But City Slickers, it's that idea of like somebody who has no business on a ranch vacationing at a ranch. So so it's sort of, I mean, maybe it is a good vacation for me. Maybe by the end of this, I'll be convinced that a dude ranch is for me.
You could help a cow give birth and
you get to play cowboy.
I don't know that they actually let you do that.
I think I found a couple that we would be happy at, because I feel the same way. I don't want to camp. I
do tell.
You know, that's so, like, there's the ranch at Rock Creek, and that is a 5-star luxury dude ranch. So it looks like there's more than just, this isn't all just roll out your camp roll, pitch your tent with the, you know, driving the cattle across the the range,
the prairie.
They've got spas. I mean, you can do the fly fishing and go out with guides and that stuff too, but it also looks like there's some high quality food, dinner, cocktails, that type of thing available too. So this is sounding more appealing to me.
They also seem to be located in some really gorgeous areas too, like parks and things.
Yeah. Well, and I will say that that area of the country, as someone who grew up on the East Coast, and I'm pretty widely traveled, but I really haven't done the American West very much. And when I went to Arizona, I was just blown away at how different it is in Arizona than it is where I grew up. You know, that I'm used to pine trees and rolling hills, and Arizona is just so completely different. So I think even just these open prairies and farmland that we have in the West, that, I mean, I just, it's different. It's different. It's just as different as me going to Europe. It's a totally different place.
Get out where there's no light pollution and you can see all the stars in the sky. And I mean, as someone, I grew up in the country, and that really speaks to me, that aspect of it. And to do so and to get to sleep in like a converted barn loft instead of out on the ground in a tent, I think that sounds appealing.
I mean, converted is the important part, because barn loft is not.
No, they're luxury. The one I'm looking at right now is there. It's luxury accommodations. It's you retreat to your serene family cabin or converted barn loft and head to dinner and cocktails at the lodge. Enjoy Montana brews and cocktails before you eat. Your relais and chateau approved meal. That's, I don't know.
Okay, so Lindsay and I have chosen our dude ranch.
Dude ranch.
To try out. There are a couple of others. So Donna and Sandy, which ones are you going to try out? There are working cattle ranches, and there's the traditional dude ranch that focuses on horseback riding. So where do you fall in this spectrum?
Well, our family is kind of, we like to go camping kind of like Sandy does, and we would probably go for the traditional dude ranch where you learn, you know, roping and barrel racing and things like that. And I grew up in South Texas, so rodeo is very, very big down there. Mm-hmm. But doing fishing and, you know, just riding horses that aren't nose to tail all the time, that right there is just really appealing.
Yeah, I'd like to say I would like that, but in reality, I would do more like the traditional dude ranch where you can go horseback riding, but they're very like good with people who are not really comfortable around horses, and they're not going to make me rope a cattle.
And, no, you rope a chair. You got to learn how to do the lasso first.
There's a resort here where you guys could vacation together and both be happy.
Ah, there we go.
The resort at Paws Up in Greeno, Montana. So you could go do the cowboy experience and become a rodeo expert while Sandy enjoys glamping in a glamorous tent, which I don't want to step to. I don't care if you call it glamping. I don't want
to. It's a tent. I think it's interesting too. And by the way, I think we need to give a shout out to our ill podcast partner in crime here, George, because he wrote these show notes before passing out from illness. And he's not that ill. We should, in this time of COVID, we should be clear on that. But none of us chose the working cattle ranch. So I'm thinking none of us actually want to be cowboys. Am I correct?
Yeah. I think maybe like 25 years ago, I would have given it a shot, but that ship is sailing.
Yeah, now at this age, I want to sleep in a bed, not on a tent in the middle of nowhere with a sleeping bag.
If my pillow is the wrong way, I'm jacked up for like a week. I can't, at this point, risking falling off a horse, trying to learn how to...
Yep. Well, and I was intrigued because the one he gave as an example is it starts with all-inclusive New Mexico ranch experience. Yeah. So all-inclusive sounds good.
A lot of these are all-inclusive because they're all self-contained. You're pretty much, you're getting everything, all your food and your...
Huh. And I think it's important to point out...
dinners and...
Yeah. And I do want to point out that you don't have to be experienced in any of this stuff. So it is truly, they're designed for people who may not have ever ridden on a horse or who may not have ever swung a rope. So it's not something, if it's something that you've always wanted to explore that side of your personality, then you could do this. You don't have to know what you're doing to go to any of these places. I think there's not very many, even the working cattle ranches, they will teach you. It will probably look like the third installment of City Slickers, but
they have other activities too. Like some of them, depending on the location, there's river rafting and fly fishing and things like that too, that are not all out on the range. And I mean, you can go to one on the hot springs, looking on hot springs, you can go and enjoy soaking in the natural hot springs, which to me,
I would sign me up.
I'd put up with less than accommodations for that, but luckily you don't have to. At some of these places like the Dutton Hot Springs in Colorado. In Dolores, Colorado.
Wyoming too. I would love to go to Wyoming.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, you know, I said I'd never stayed at a dude ranch, but I think I might have, technically, since we know that dude ranch really just means a ranch where people who go there who aren't really normally cowboys or ranchers or anything like that. The last place in the Adventures by Disney tour that we did of Arizona and Utah was an old ranch. I don't know that it's truly a working ranch anymore. Those accommodations were lovely, and you could horseback ride and you could river raft, and we had s'mores. So I guess in a way we did experience that. It just wasn't called that. Like it wasn't packaged as a dude ranch experience, but it was definitely a ranch. I mean, it's called the Red Ranch, so right on the Colorado River. So,
and I think it's safe to say that no matter where you fall in on that adventure spectrum of how bad you want to try to learn how to be a cowboy, that there is probably a dude ranch that's going to suit your needs. Like there, I came across one in California that has 2 18-hole golf courses and mm-hmm. tennis courts on it. Plus a bunch of riding trails and things like that. So it seems like there's a plethora of options out there for people whose families might diversify and maybe your kids want to play cowboy, but you want to be at the spa and your husband wants to golf.
Yep.
Or,
and don't assume
combination.
Don't assume that they're only out west. There's one in our great state of North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, New York. New York actually has some amazing farms and, you know, a great farming culture when you get outside of Manhattan, and not on Long Island either. So some wonderful places. Ohio, which is, of course, a great deal of farmland and sort of really part of our heartland. So you don't have to, if you're East Coast, you don't necessarily have to go far from home to get there. You don't necessarily have to fly. It won't give you the out west big sky experience that we were talking about where, you know, I want to see different landscapes and I want to see, but if you want the sort of ranch experience, they're all over the country. That's a U.S. thing.
And if you could also tie in, I mean, most of the there's a lot of them out in Montana and Wyoming and Colorado and everything. You could tie in national parks to that as well, depending on how much time you've actually got free.
Yeah, many of them are national parks adjacent. I mean, like, it's not very far to go, so yeah. Or a ski trip, or yeah, anything like that.
Or if you really do want to look like you're walking right into a John Wayne movie, there's one in the Tonco Verde Ranch in Tucson, Arizona. It looks like a luxury resort, but it is a working dude ranch. It's a dude ranch, and there's 60,000 acres. You can go fishing, horseback riding, hiking. You can have handcrafted cocktails at the Doghouse Saloon with gently smoked barbecue fare by the outdoor fire, or homemade chocolate truffles for dessert. I'm getting hungry. I'm just thinking about this. But so you still could have that authentic experience, and I'm really surprised how many there are in the U.S. actually, and mm-hmm. there's two in Washington State, and
mm-hmm. and we have some notes here on that whole all-inclusive thing, because I do think this is important to talk about. That's a lot of people look for all-inclusive in the U.S. and the way we do all-inclusive is very different than the way you do all-inclusive in the Caribbean or whatever, because the tax laws are so different. So usually all-inclusive will include your meals and where you're staying, your room, and a lot of activities. And sometimes that even includes things like horseback riding. But if you need lessons, so you can't just put yourself up on a horse and ride, you need lessons, that might be additional. Alcoholic beverages will be additional. Airport transfers will be additional. If you go rafting, that might be additional. So it's really, when they say all inclusive, it's really kind of room and board and some activities. So not your booze. If you want to go
get your massage.
Yeah. If you want to go out on the pirate ship and get wasted, that's your Caribbean vacation. That's not this one. So not that they, you know, you were talking about the 5-star that have cocktails. They'll probably have some very high end, you know, craft cocktails, but you will pay for them. So
yeah.
After a hard day of riding horses, I think I would gladly pay for one of them high end cocktails.
Yes. I think it ties into that sort of ski, like the idea of skiing or any other sort of active vacation, where usually it is tied to sort of a relaxing, soft landing at the end. And the landing may not be as soft at a lower expense or more authentic dude ranch, but you can get that soft landing and still have some of those experiences as well.
Or you could just go for the soft landing.
Which is what I would do. I mean, let's be honest. I think horses are very, horses are very pretty from a distance, but
I would go riding, because I went riding as a kid and I loved it, but I don't want to do any all day cattle drive riding. Although I say that, and then I should go with Sandy, because she has no desire to do it, and I'm kind of maybe a little bit interested, so we should go together, and it would be a nice reversal of a let's get you killed vacation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, cool that there's so many that have, like, kids programs.
Yeah.
This would be a really fun trip to take if your kids are, I kind of think, under teenager. I mean, I think it'd be fun for teenagers if this is their interest, but I think if you had, like, a family reunion or a couple families that wanted to go together, I mean, that would be a really fun, memorable vacation for your kids.
Even with
Even
with older teens, I could see this being so appealing because of, you know, mountain biking, the river rafting, the all the things that you can do that kids love to do.
I do think it might. I mean, especially if your kids like being outdoors, they like sort of adventure and exercise, and which is not every American teenager by any stretch. But yeah, I could see that. I think I would be more likely to take my kids when they were younger too. We never did, so it's sort of, I'm going to chalk that up as a missed opportunity. But I do think that when my kids were under the age of 10, this is something they would have really, really, And I mean, I think they would probably like it now. And I took Finley when just, it was what, 2 or 3 years ago, 3 years ago. And he's 16 now, so 13. And he enjoyed that experience. He enjoyed that outdoor, you know, climbing on stuff and rafting and doing all that stuff. He did. So yeah, teenagers too.
I think it also depends on your family. If you're a really outdoorsy family, you're going to love it no matter what age you are. If you're introverts inside the house and they are glued to an Xbox, well, then probably not as much enjoyment. However, most of these places, if you have, don't have the light pollution, they've got telescopes and all. Mm-hmm. So you can do some great, you know, astronomy. You can also do some great photography. So there are other things that can be done that are not necessarily outdoors.
And we've talked a lot about the horses, but a lot of them have petting areas and things with goats and sheep and, you know, all the farm animals that you might expect to see, they'll have them. And I mean, there is, it's not a ranch if there's not a dog, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And cats.
So so lots of animal watching as well. If you have an animal lover in the house, this could be great for them, not just for horses, but lots of animals.
I will say something that I took for granted as growing up on a farm and having a working border collie is how fascinating they are to watch. I mean, it wasn't until we went to Ireland and saw the sheep demo that I really appreciated what Gus, our my dad's farm dog, did. And he did the same thing with the cattle and herded the cattle. And so there's probably lots of opportunities to see a dog in action. And once you've seen a dog that has a purpose like that, it can kind of be very enthralling for adults as well as children.
My friend had a Sheltie puppy. And it got out one time and it herded their elderly neighbor.
Oh my gosh.
I know, I used to herd Connor when he was, you know, 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. They're amazing. Well, and then from a pure, like, sustainability and being aware, you know, not everyone is a vegetarian. It's very important for you to understand where your food is coming from and who's producing that food and what is involved in that work. I mean, I think that that's a very important lesson. It's very easy for us to go to the grocery store and not think about that, but there are still plenty of people making a living, making sure we have food. So, and that's the whole history of ranching and everything that it's about, especially the cattle side of it. So that's a great lesson for kids to learn too, is to understand that things don't just magically appear, that there's work involved in making that happen and the sacrifices that are made both by the people and by the animals for that. So yeah, important lessons for sure. And it's right here in our backyard, no passport required. So a lot of value to that too.
In most cases, not a very long flight required either.
Mm-hmm. In some cases you can drive. So, I mean, well, in all cases you can drive. None of these are in Hawaii. So, although there are farms in Hawaii you can go to as well, but yeah, it's all something. Getting back to it, COVID has given us, sorry, I'm not being very articulate right now, but COVID has given us a chance to explore our own country more. You know, right now there's not very many places we can go. So taking the opportunity to learn about our country, our history, and, you know, how our people live, it's a thing. You know, you can't just assume that everybody lives the same way you do in the corner of the world that you're living in. So It's part of what travel's all about, right?
Yeah. And the more I look at all these activities, the more I am thinking that we need to do an Outlander. This is what we should do. We should do a team building trip to a dude ranch. And I mean, because we can do canoeing, we can go skeet shooting and archery. Don't you want to see Sandy with a weapon?
Hey, I have gone skeet shooting before.
How did that go for the skeet? Did all the skeet get away?
It was a skeet shooting / brewery tour.
That's fantastic.
I don't think you can call it team building if we're all going different directions because we all have very separate interests.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah, no. No, it's not really my idea of team building because that's basically you're going to see me whining a lot about not being able to do anything. So.
But wouldn't you go river rafting? Because I think we'd all go river rafting. That's it. You can river raft with somebody. I think everyone before they get married should have to either learn how to navigate a river raft or a canoe or some type of water vessel together.
Or back up a trailer with a boat on it.
Yeah, that's the perfect test of a relationship.
Yeah, I do not disagree with you. I think you're absolutely 100% right. And actually, tent camping with someone you intend to marry is also a good idea. Yeah. Although Chris and I did that, believe it or not, after we got married, but before we had children, and we've never done it again. It wasn't that we had a bad time.
I think this would be an amazing girls' trip. This would, and George, this would be like an amazing for anybody that's looking for a good girls' trip. Or good, like, get out. We could drink around a campfire and look at the stars and s'mores and figure out which beer pairs best with s'mores. And, like, we could make a whole thing out of it. I think this
And
would
I
be
do
fantastic.
Think you actually raise a really good point because I do think a lot of times for bachelor and bachelorette parties, people focus on big party cities or whatever, but not everybody has that personality. And this could be, if your goal for your bachelorette party or your bachelor party is to just really hang with your peeps, this would be a great way to do it. Yeah, for sure.
Then you could do activities separate, but then together. And I think there's so much to do here. In fact, some of these I was coming across, some of the activity lists are longer than those that you'd find at an all-inclusive in the Caribbean, which is shocking to me that we have so much here.
I've never been to an all-inclusive in the Caribbean that has skeet shooting, ever.
Yeah, see?
Now, there are some English manors where you can do that if you'd like to, so it is possible outside of the U.S., but even, like, rock climbing, I mean, obviously, some of these ranches, you know, out west have great climbing and, I mean, all these rock formations and everything, so yeah, I think they definitely have something for everyone.
Those rock climbing walls, you are climbing
actual rock.
Yeah, actual rock. Yep, absolutely. Hanging off the side of them. So, and again, with a soft landing, and how soft depends on how much you're willing to pay. And I think that's something to be said too, because I think some people think, oh, dude ranch, that's like a campground.
No.
Not necessarily. The one Lindsay was talking about earlier in the podcast where she and I would stay. Not campground prices. Yeah.
No. Five-star luxury is never going to be a campground price. Yeah. But it's going to be worth every penny.
And exactly. Even like a regular one where, you know, you're doing a campfire, but someone else is cooking for you, that's a little bit better than regular camping. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I think that's what I sort of had lost sight of in the whole conversation, because my first reaction when we even planned this episode was, this is not something I would do. This is not something I know anything about. This is not something I would do. But I think I have done it in certain ways. I mean, not in the city slickers way, for sure. Nor would I ever want to. Nothing about that appeals. But and I do understand that city slickers was also sort of making fun of that whole situation. But there are more rustic versions out there, and it had never really appealed to me until I went out west and saw how different it really is. So again, at this point, you know, your choices are a little bit lower, so why not try it too? If it's something that's never appealed to you, why not?
Yeah, I'm willing to give it a go.
What do you guys let me know how it is.
Lindsay, I go with you.
I do. You know, we don't have
going out west.
We don't have anything in our notes about it, but I feel certain that there's probably some that are attached to wineries too. I mean, you mentioned the craft beer, but yeah.
Craft beer and winery, mm-hmm. and in the one in California with the golf courses, and I'm sure that could very easily be turned into a wine / dude ranch trip.
We would anyway. Too.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes, distilleries.
We pick a resort.
Too, yeah.
We'll find a way to make it an alcoholic adventure.
We can always bring beer into the picture. Always.
We'll find you some breweries or some wineries in the area, and if it's not part of the package, we'll make it.
That's right. We will make it happen for sure.
Okay, well, that's our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. And you can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.